Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It's just edging up on 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning into the program. As always, I'm happy to welcome in Melody Phillipson.
Hello.
Hi, Mel. How are you?
So great. It's Friday. Are you so happy?
Yeah,
well, no,
except I'm not a realtor, so I'm not on call 24/7, although I am doing 2 to 3 baseball games in the next 24 hours. So
that'll be fun.
28 hours, I guess. So, fun, yes, hot. Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Oh, that's true.
87 today for a high.
Oh, my gosh. I wore jeans. I need to go change. I didn't look at that.
Yeah, before I head out to the ballpark today, I'm going to put on some shorts. But it's going to be hot. I probably need to bring a hat. And it's hard to wear a hat when you have to wear headphones, though. They don't really.
Oh, I know. How do you do that?
It's a matter of desire. How bad do you want the sun off of your face?
Mm-hmm. What if you got one of those, like, tennis hats that, like,
have the visor? Like, yeah. I have a couple of visors I use in pickleball. So. I'm not complaining. I'm doing sports and getting paid for it. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I wanted to tell you a story, Mello, and it was kind of cool. I told you a little about it, but I'm gonna kind of explain it a little more as we go along. And one of the things I love about Mello is that she doesn't necessarily follow all the current local events.
Uh-huh.
And so when a story comes up, Mello's like, oh, really? I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though a lot of people had heard about it. But this is cool. Okay. First, the uncool part.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of days ago, I want to say it was Tuesday, maybe, earlier this week, a couple, fell off a cliff, almost 400-foot cliff, and they were killed. It was in Bryce Canyon National Park, Inspiration Point up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was in Utah, it wasn't very far away from here. The couple was from Florida, and I'll give you their names here in a minute, but it kind of seems, I mean, they went over some safety railings and nobody witnessed it, but they had to have climbed over the safety railings to fall off of this point. So they have not ruled what happened, but it kind of sounds almost like maybe they did it on purpose.
Oh, no.
And to compound that, their cat also went over with them.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the cat was in one of those little, it almost looks like a duffel bag. They call it a portable cat carrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those big giant plastic ones. It's just, like I said, look kind of, almost like a black sports bag or duffel bag.
Oh, my.
Anyway, the cat was inside that. It also went over the 380-foot fall.
What?
And you're not going to believe this. The cat, and her name is Mirage.
Uh-huh.
The cat lived.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they have 9 lives, so that's not
really
a
surprise. Well, I know. I'm thinking to use 7 or 8 of them on this one fall. I mean, that's a long way to go. But.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, first of all, feel bad for the people that passed away. Their names are Matthew Nannon and Bailey Crane. They're from Florida. So, and again, I don't want to speculate that it was for sure suicide. I think it's possible it was just because two went down and the cat all at the same time.
What if it was like a selfie and they like were backing up?
Yeah, that actually happens
like lifting
a lot.
Up the cat, like, hey, look, here's our cat.
And remember, it was snowy too, and icy and slippery. And so, yeah. So we don't know for sure, but two people lost their lives. I just think it's incredible that this cat, which had no control over any of it, was inside this carrier, and it lived through it.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. So the Best Friends Animal Shelter, which is out there by Kanab, has taken this cat in. There's some cool pictures, and I have one on my. I have an article on 890kdxu.com. Of Bryce Canyon and of a lady at Best Friends Animal Shelter holding up the little cat carrier thing. It's pretty beat up. I mean, there's holes in it. I mean, it looks hammered. But then there's also a picture of the cat, and the cat looks a little beat up, but okay.
Yeah.
You know? And now they said they evaluated the cat. It was, it seemed to be friendly. It seemed to be alert. It was eating and drinking on its own.
Mm-hmm.
They did x-rays. The x-rays weren't back yet to just see if there's any kind of internal problems or whatever.
Right,
but
or broken bones? Or
you think about the fact that what the cat went through that killed two people, and the cat is still alive is incredible.
Yeah. So sad, though.
So,
gosh.
Yeah, sad story, but a miracle cat for sure. Mirage, we salute you for giving up several of your 9 lives to come through there. Also, as that story was breaking yesterday, another story came across the wire. I thought this was pretty amazing, too. So, okay, we know that dachshunds are little dogs, right? The little wiener dogs. There was a dog called, the breed was a miniature dachshund. Now, I thought dachshunds were already miniature, but this one, I guess, must have been even smaller because it's a miniature dachshund. Anyway, this was out in Australia, so not a local tie, but it's an animal tie. So it kind of brought my interest into it. So this couple took, they went out to the Australian wilderness, and I don't know if people know this, but 9 of the deadliest snakes in the world live in Australia.
Yeah.
9 of the top 10. I mean, and there's all kinds, they got crocodiles, they got all kinds of things that'll
spiders,
eat you.
Spiders, they'll
oh,
like
yeah.
make
dingoes,
so many.
And yeah. A dingo ate my baby, you know, all that.
Lame.
So, yeah. Anyway, this miniature dachshund disappeared while the couple was out there in the wilderness. They looked and looked. They spent hours looking for the dog, couldn't find him. So they kind of assumed maybe one of those predators got them while they were out on this little wilderness area. Sadly, they went home.
Yeah.
They just kind of forgot it. By the way, the dog's name is Valerie. Has a pink collar. This miniature dachshund named Valerie with the pink collar was gone for, they forgot about Valerie. They even got another dog. They moved on with life and realized, yeah, Valerie probably dead. It's very sad that, you know, it happens. And then, it's May 2nd. So about 2 months ago, there were some reports of a sighting of a miniature dachshund with pink collar in the Australian wilderness.
My goodness.
People saw him. They couldn't get close enough to get the dog, but they saw a dog. And so the family heard about this, and they said, hey, can you catch the dog? Can you find? So it took them a couple of weeks. They finally figured out where Valerie was and caught Valerie and brought Valerie home to the couple. The happy couple got their puppy back. It survived Mello for nearly two. It disappeared in, I think it was May of 23. It survived till March of 25 out in the Australian wilderness by itself.
Wow. I can't imagine its temperament after having been abandoned.
That is so funny. That's exactly what my wife said. She's like, do you think its personality changed a little over the last 2 years?
Right. Like it gets the food and it like attacks the other little dog that they got. I wouldn't trust it.
It probably had to fight for its life. It probably had to, I mean, what did it eat for 2 years out in the Australian wilderness? Little mice, geez Louise.
I don't know. That's.
This is a domestic dog that got fed dog food every day. It didn't have to fight for food ever before.
Mm-mm.
So, but I guess if you get hungry enough, you'll do whatever it takes, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So, anyway, Valerie is back with the family after being gone for nearly 2 years in the Australian wilderness.
Crazy.
Some pretty amazing animals out there, right?
Yeah.
By the way, remember me talking about the missing monkeys from the zoo?
Yes.
There are still two of them out there. That have never been caught.
Well, hopefully there's a male and a female, and now there's like 45.
Yeah, I don't think they're as bad as rabbits, but yeah, that'd be kind of wild if they mated. So
it'd make them easier to find.
Yeah. I got to tell you about this story. So yesterday, about noon yesterday, car wash in St. George. I'm debating whether or not I should say which one, but a car wash. It wasn't the car wash's fault, by the way.
Well, there's only
like
400, so they'd never.
Yeah,
guess.
Let's narrow it down to anyway a car wash on South River Road. Let's put it that way. I won't say the name of it, but it's a car wash on South River Road near Popeyes. There's a little hint for you.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was a huge collision inside the car wash, where one car crashed into another car, which crashed into another car. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe somebody pushed the wrong button and it was a low-speed collision. There was a couple little dents. Oh, you should have seen the pictures.
Really?
The cars were just mangled. It was unbelievable.
Oh, and then there's also everything around it, right? So
yeah.
You could get smushed into stuff on your side,
right,
too.
Right. So yesterday, the story broke, and it was just very little information was known except there was a crash in a car wash. And, you know, I remember my dad telling me one time he actually had a collision in a car wash once, and the operator of the car wash blamed him, said, well, you must have put it in drive or something. And my dad was like, It was in neutral. I was three-fourths away through the car wash. I didn't touch again. I didn't touch anything, and they bumped me into another car. Now, there was no damage, so it wasn't a big deal for him. But this one, when there was major damage. So, anyway, when it first came out, there was no information. So I thought, oh, maybe the car wash, you know. As it turns out, the driver of the car in the back, the guy that was just about to go in the car wash, instead of hitting the brake, hit the gas. Yeah, driver error. Anyway, in hitting the, to me, this blows my mind. They must have hit it pretty hard, the gas, because not only did they bump into another car, they sped halfway through the car wash, hit a Tesla, which then bumped forward and hit a Subaru, making this three-car crash because somebody hit the gas instead of the brake.
I'd be worried about the attendants, too, because they're right there in the front before you get in, scrubbing down the car.
Now, to the car wash people's credit, they immediately shut off the thing and called emergency service and stuff. And because it was on private property, there were no citations issued.
Oh.
So even though the person pushed the gas instead of the brake and they're the ones that were clearly at fault, no citations. I'm not sure how insurance will handle it or what, but I just think about how hard must they have pushed the gas to speed through the car wash and crash and create some major damage.
My goodness.
On this crash.
I'm always going so slow because I have the hardest time lining up my car with those little divots if they don't have the mirror. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I go really slow and I'm like, I just put my hands up like, I don't know which way to go, and they point right or left.
Yeah, usually they point and they tell you. Yeah, right. I got a big old, my truck, I got big old fat tires and they're always directing me. You need to go 6 inches that way. Or,
oh, man.
All right, yeah. So, anyway, fortunately, there were no serious injuries with the car wash crash. But
just go slow, people. Go slow.
How many car washes are there in St. George? There's got to be.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
If we include the county, I'll bet in the county, I'll bet there is 100.
You think so?
Yeah, in the county. Maybe not right in St. George. There's probably 30 or 40 in St. George. Maybe 50. Do you think that's too many?
I mean,
there were ones before it became cool. Remember, they had the original car washes, the old school car wash, and then all of a sudden you had all these car, you know, Tag and Go and Fabulous Freddy's and the Duck Place, whatever that was, Quack, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And now it's cool to have
and the
a car
dinosaur
wash.
Car wash.
Oh, Dino, yeah.
Yeah, the Dino Wash. I like to go there.
There are a lot of car washes, and it's interesting. I asked actually, maybe it was a caller that asked Zach Renstrom, our water guy, about car washes, and he said, "You would not believe how little water they actually use because they take the water that they use to wash a car, and it drains into the system. They purify it, and they use that same water for the next, you know, three cars later or whatever." He said they actually use a lot less water than most businesses, even though it's a car wash and they're using water. You would think they would use a lot. They actually don't use very much water.
Yeah. So I just asked ChatGPT, and they said there's not an official count, but the listing suggests there's at least 14 car wash businesses operating in the area, and then it lists all of
14.
Them.
14. I guess that was a little high then.
I know. It feels like it because every street you turn on, there's one on the corner.
I don't, first of all, I don't trust AI because I've seen a lie. It has lied to me before, but I'm saying that number's a little low. I don't think, maybe I exaggerated too much with 100, but I'll bet there's more like 25 or 30 in the St. George area. We're talking about Washington, St. George, Santa Clara, Ivins. And that's not including Hurricane. I'll bet there's, you know, there's 5 or 6 in Hurricane, right?
Probably. But
anyway, so I was a member of a car wash club for a while for my truck. And it was 20 something a month, and I was going twice a month, and I'm like, maybe I need to just pay for the individual car wash because I was helping someone make their car payment or something because I was not using.
I used it all the time. I had the Tag and Go, and I would use it because I had a black car at the time. My car always got dirty. I'd go sometimes twice a day. Sometimes I'd go 3-4 times a week.
Really?
I was using it.
Well, I ended up. Canceling it, and now the problem with canceling it is now I'm no longer motivated to get my car washed, and so my truck was I went like a month before I washed. I finally did wash it the other day, but I went a while without washing it. It's clean now, but
yeah. Instead of the monthly memberships, now what I do is at Dino Dash you can buy like a card and it has like so many washes on it, and so I just like prepay for them for like 10 washes, and then I just use that card when I go in.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Right, that's a good idea. I think Fabulous Freddy's has a buy 7, get 3 free, a book of 10 or something
they
like
do.
That.
They do, yeah. So, they do have some really good deals over there, too.
All right, I'm going to tell you, I went to high school in West Jordan. We moved to West Jordan when I was a teenager, and I ended up going to high school there. So I have an affinity, a little soft spot for the city of West Jordan, but something happened in West Jordan yesterday. Unbelievable. So I guess the seniors in high school, we're not talking about senior old people, we're talking about seniors in high school, so 17, 18-year-olds. They have a new game out, not a video game, but an actual physical game called Senior Assassination. Sounds sinister, doesn't it?
So terrible.
But really what it is the idea is you carry a squirt gun around with you and you try to quote unquote assassinate the other seniors, and the idea is to be the last senior standing, basically.
That sounds so fun. I know,
it does kind of sound fun. I don't like the name Senior Assassination because that implies death, but no, the death is figurative. It's a squirt gun. But unfortunately, a couple of seniors in West Jordan got a little carried away. So the one senior was chasing the other senior around town, and the other senior thought it would be a great idea. I'm not sure what they were thinking. Now, you know, I mean, we're talking about 18-year-olds, but he pulled into a parking lot of a hospital and jumped out of his car and ran into the hospital.
Well, if he got assassinated, he'd have medical care.
Yeah. Well, in hot pursuit was Mr. Squirt Gun, who was going to assassinate him.
Yeah.
The problem here, well, there are a lot of problems here, but the biggest problem was the squirt gun that this guy was using, the assassinator was using, looked a lot like a real gun.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a Nerf squirt gun. I don't know much about what kind of gun it was, but apparently on videotape, the security team watching the video watches a guy coming in pointing a gun at another guy in a hospital. Well, the authorities were called.
They don't see the water squirting out the other end.
The authorities were called. They did a lockdown. Security was on high alert. Police came in. People were freaking out. They were, yeah. Mm. And so, meanwhile, the two kids, they don't know about all this. The one kid's still chasing the other kid with a squirt gun, trying to assassinate him. Mm-hmm. And they come around a corner, and there's a whole bunch of cops with real guns drawn, and they're like,
"Goodness, that's scary."
What? Anyway, they arrested the guy with the gun, which turned out to be a squirt gun, and the other guy they didn't arrest. But now they're kind of at that point, like, what do we charge him with? What?
Don't charge him.
What do we do here on this one? 18-year-old kid with a squirt gun.
He was 18, though.
Yeah. So he's an adult. Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
So yeah, at this point, you know, what do you do? Yeah. On the one hand, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. Maybe you can give me your opinion. On the one hand, here's an 18-year-old kid with a squirt gun. Come on, he's just having a little fun. And at least he wasn't on his phone, right? But on the other hand, he created a pretty big panic, and somebody could, I mean, he could have been killed. Someone could have been seriously hurt in this incident. And so I'm kind of torn. What do you think, Mello?
I think that kids should have an opportunity to be kids and do dumb things. They weren't hurting anybody. They were playing a game. I'm sure if anybody was paying attention, they would have seen that it was a squirt gun. The kid wasn't, like, crying that was being chased. It was fun. I think that they just misread the situation.
They were laughing and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know, in this era that we're in of school and public shootings, I can't really blame the people for panicking a little. I mean, if you're watching a black and white surveillance video and you see someone that with something that looks like a gun chasing someone else, don't you kind of go, uh-oh, we better do something?
I do.
Better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah. Do you want to hear my story about a gun?
Sure.
That I called the police on?
Uh-oh.
I hope my dad's neighbor's not listening.
Nobody got shot, though, right?
Nobody got shot.
Okay.
So I'm at my dad's house in his office, and I'm doing my homework. I'm going to college. Okay. I'm an adult. I'm an adult with 5 kids. They're all at church. I'm finishing a paper.
Your kids are at church and you are home doing homework.
I'm at my dad's house finishing my paper because it's
Why didn't you go to church, young lady? Never mind.
I was late on my school. Okay, right, so I'm getting it done. And I can see out my dad's front window there's a neighbor across the street. And he has a gun. And there's no houses on either side because the street is just being built out. And he squats down and he has this gun. And it's like by his face. And then he like looks down at the ground and then he gets back up. And I'm like, is this guy going to like commit suicide? Like right in front of me? Like what is happening? So I call the police and like the police like swarm like this house and the guy goes back in his house.
So how many police, like Several cars
in Santa Clara
with guns. And
it's in Santa Clara. I don't know if they have guns, but they're coming around the house. And then there's some stationed like down the street around the corner. So I've created some chaos.
Yeah.
Please don't tell this neighbor if you guys know who I am. Don't tell him. So this guy is like back in his house. And you can see like in the front room, he's like in his front room, like in his chair. So he's gone from outside and back inside. So nothing happened. But I did see a gun. And I did see him like squatting down. And I thought, I interpreted it that he was going to maybe kill himself.
Okay.
So he goes back in, and then he goes back out, and he has, like, these little moped scooters, and he goes out, and the police, because the police come out and, like, follow him, and then they stop him.
They didn't grab him and arrest him right away.
No, they follow him, because maybe he's going to go somewhere else and kill himself, right? Okay. So they don't know what's going on.
And he might be armed for all they know.
Right, and they don't know. So then I guess they stop him down the road. The guy that was investigating it is in my ward, so he called me, and he came over kind of, like, laughing. I'm like, what? What happened? He's like... He was just trying to shoot the gophers that are in the hole.
He was shooting gophers. kind of like the whack-a-mole game, only he had a gun.
Yeah, I don't know if it was probably like a gun for the hole. Like, it probably wasn't even a real gun. So now my opinion doesn't really count because I jumped the gun, apparently.
Jumped the gun. No pun intended. Yeah, okay. So.
I was a little embarrassed. I really haven't told that story to many people. Now I just told it to
everyone. It's amazing what radio will make you do, right? the other day I said something on the radio, and my wife's like, you told everybody that? I'm like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, sorry. They're my friends.
Oh, it happens, yeah. We're just talking to our friends, right? All right, we have a weather break coming up. Before we do that, though, I want you to call in. And so this is a little bit of a weird deal. We're used to going as couples, right? I have three tickets to tomorrow night's showing of Little Mermaid. Do not try to go tonight unless you already have tickets, because they are sold out tonight. So this will be your first opportunity to go see The Little Mermaid, which starts tonight, but this is tomorrow night's ticket. So three tickets to go see The Little Mermaid at Tuacon Amphitheater tomorrow night. And I will warn you, if you're an early bird, the show starts at 8:45. It's a late night show.
It's amazing, though. I've been to that one before, and they flood the stage, so it feels like you're in the water. It's a really magical experience.
Nice. Little Mermaid, tomorrow night, 8:45 at Tuacon Amphitheater. Caller number three right now wins not one, not two, but three tickets to go see Little Mermaid. Caller number three at 673-5890. Three tickets to go see Little Mermaid. Give me a call, and we'll go to weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:35 on KDXU. We've talked about miracle cats and miracle dogs and teenagers doing teenager things and
car washes.
And Mello calling the cops on a dude trying to kill a gopher.
We were going to let that go. Come on.
I think it's great. Well, first of all, I hope it was not a real gun, because even if he was just killing gophers, you're not allowed to discharge a firearm in city limits, Santa Clara, St. George, Ivins, anywhere. So
yeah, he didn't discharge it.
Oh, he never did shoot?
No, he was just trying to find it and just going down. And
but he would have shot it. If he'd seen a gopher, he'd have shot it.
Maybe. Yeah. And I hope he doesn't call and tell us, because I hope he doesn't know who I am.
I don't know. I mean, I have guns. I'm a gun. I wouldn't say I'm a collector, but I have. How many guns make you a collector?
I'd say more than three.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're a collector.
I guess I'm a collector. I think I have five. You know, that's one of the first rules you learn is do not discharge a gun within city limits unless your life is on the line. You just don't do it.
They could have been rabid gophers.
Did I ever tell you the Brandon Hanson raccoon story?
I have not heard that.
Okay, so Brandon Hanson, he runs Cherry Creek Mortgage, good friend of mine. I've known Brandon for like 25 years.
Okay.
So he was telling me one time, he said, listen, we have raccoons in our yard. They come out every night. They tear up the yard. He says, I just absolutely hate them. And he says, so I called animal control, and they said, well, they're not a whole lot we can do for you, but just so you're aware, you're not allowed to kill raccoons. It's against the law to kill raccoons.
Oh. So you can't poison them? Does that count?
He said, basically, the only thing you're allowed to do is you can catch them and take them outside the city limits. But you cannot kill raccoons, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was kind of fit to be tied because it seemed like, I mean, he did that. He took a couple out, and they kept coming back, and maybe not the exact same raccoon, but there were raccoons. He just couldn't get rid of them. So he decided that enough was enough. So he caught some raccoons, and he was going to, how do I put this delicately? He was going to make sure they never came back.
Dispose of them.
Yeah, yeah. And so he...
Black trash bag.
He catches them in, you know, these little cages, whatever, puts them in the back of his truck, and then he's going to go take care of them. And as he's leaving, his wife comes out and said, "Oh, you caught the raccoons, huh?" And he said, "Yeah." And she goes, "What are you going to do with them?" Oh, and no. He's like, and he didn't really, hemmed and hawed, didn't really have a good answer. And then he gets in his truck and starts to drive away. And as he's getting ready to pull out, his wife says to him, she says, "Honey, if you kill these raccoons, then you're not the kind of man I thought you were."
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. I mean, right, boom, then the arrow to the heart, right? I mean, what is he supposed to do at that point? He really can't. You can't. When your wife says that to you, you are stuck. You are in. It reminds me of, I mean, you can't kill the raccoon. It reminds me of the time. It's a little personal, but it's true. I went in after our last child to have the vasectomy. Sure. I went in there. And so we're in there, and this is way before they give you drugs. The nurse comes in and says, "All right," she says, "I want you to disrobe, put this gown on. I'll be back in a minute." So I'm like, "All right, here we go." So I put the gown on. She comes back and she's got what looks like a Bic, a handheld plastic razor. And she says to me, "Okay, well, I need to shave you now." And at that moment, my wife looks at me and goes, "Honey, you don't have to do this. We can leave if you want to now." Now, what do you suppose went through my mind at that moment?
I don't know.
All of a sudden, I couldn't leave anymore. Oh. She basically challenged my ability to be a husband, a man, a whatever. And there's this lady who looks somewhat like a linebacker for the LA Rams in 1977.
No.
Nurse holding a Bic, what looks like a Bic razor, and she wants to shave my, well, you know, area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, my wife says, "We can leave now if you want." And she was just being sweet, right? She was just being kind. But I knew at that point I could not leave.
Right. So you manned up.
I had to. Yeah. I had to. And, you know, they shave you before they give you drugs. Then they give you drugs. And once you get the drugs in you, you don't care at that point whatever happens to you. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife says I was, what was the word she used? I think she said I was charismatic. I was hitting on the nurses and cracking jokes.
The linebacker nurse?
Well, they were all of them. Yes. apparently when I'm on some heavy duty Valium or whatever it was they gave you, I become Mr.
Swagger,
the most interesting man in Santa Jorge, right? You know, something like that. I don't know, but
nice.
Got her done, and biggest mistake I made. So after, it was maybe 3 days later, I was feeling pretty good. I thought, okay, I'm all recovered. And it happened to be, I used to play basketball twice a week, and it happened to be basketball night. Well, I had the keys to get into the gym where we play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, "I'm going to go down there." And my wife's like, "All right, well, don't play. You're not allowed to play. You're coming off some, you know, pretty serious surgery. You're not allowed to play." So I went in there and opened the building, let the guys in to play, and they had 9 guys.
Oh,
well,
no.
You know, in basketball, you don't want to play with an uneven number of guys. You got to have a 10th guy. And so what did I do,
Mr. Swagger,
macho man? I'm like, "Well, I just won't play very hard. I'll just play lightly." Well, you know, the competitive side of me took over, and needless to say, an hour and a half later, I regretted my decision.
Because you did not listen to your wife.
And I did not listen to my wife. And I was in a lot of pain for the next few days. And me and a bag of frozen peas became intimately familiar with each other.
That's so true. That's what happens when you don't listen.
And that's all I have to say about that.
I think there's plenty.
I didn't use my Forrest Gump voice, but it was the same idea. Yeah. So anyway, Welcome back to the show, everybody. Congratulations to Brenda. She's our winner of our trio of tickets to go see Little Mermaid tomorrow night at TuaCon. I have, in the last 6 years, just the last 6 years since I've been doing the show, I have gone to TuaCon, I would say, 20, 22 times or something.
Wow.
Always catch the indoor show, whatever the indoor inside show is, because, you know, in July or August, even at 9 o'clock at night, it's still dang hot, so I try to go to the air-conditioned one.
Mm-hmm.
And always catch at least one of the outdoor shows. Usually there's, what did you say? There's like four a year?
Yeah, there's four, I believe, a year.
Yeah, and so I always catch at least one, and usually I catch all four of them. Sometimes if it's really, really girly, I'll ask my wife if she wants to take one of her girlfriends instead of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stay home and watch sports or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, are you a TuaCon fan?
I love TuaCon.
Are you?
I grew up in the theater. Like,
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in
are
children's
theater. Are you an actress?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well,
yeah.
We learned something new about Mello today.
I know. And
you're
really
a thespian.
Right.
When
I was
a lesbian,
when
but
I was
a thespian.
No. When I was little, I really wanted to be in, like, the city play. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
community theater and all
community
that.
Community theater. And I was afraid to audition, so I convinced my dad to audition with me. And then he got one of the lead parts, and then he had to
take it. He didn't even really want it,
no,
but you talked him into it.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And he get your gun. I
did
think
you get a part?
I don't know if I got a part in
you
that
remember?
One. I was really small. I was probably like 10 or 11.
Is there a role that you played over the years that I would recognize?
No. My theater teacher in high school did lots of, like, weird plays. They weren't any like that.
Mm.
Well, actually, I did, like, Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
I was the Queen of Hearts in children's theater.
Right. Juice Newton would have loved you.
Yeah.
That's an old song reference. But.
Yeah. I was a dancing pig ballerina in one of the
dancing
plays we
pig
did.
Ballerina.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a picture. I won't ever share it with you, but I do have
oh,
one.
I got to see that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I did lots
just
of
because
stuff.
You have a picture of you as a dancing pig ballerina.
I do. Yeah.
We're going to need to see that,
okay.
Mello.
I'll dig that out of the archives.
That's
for
a requirement
you.
for future. that's yeah. I've got to see that. I believe I've been in maybe two, but I think only one I can think of for sure plays in my entire life.
Really?
I was about 16, maybe 15, and I played Mr. Bat in a production, a locally written production of Noah's Ark. I was Mr. Bat, and I actually had two lines. And that's the extent of my acting
Did
career.
Did you hang upside down?
No, but I had to wear this black outfit with black tights. Yes, I wore black tights.
Oh.
That was
so
brutal.
So we need that picture, too, then.
The only... No, there is no picture, thank goodness. The only consolation was my buddy, Rob, had to play Mrs. Bat. He had to put a wig on and use a high-pitched voice and everything. So the consolation was, yeah, I had to play a bat and wear tights, but at least I was Mr. Bat.
That's right. You were the man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Yeah, so the play tomorrow night, Little Mermaid at TuaCon tonight. So my wife is in charge. She's like, you know, the executive assistant over at Washington City. They were doing an employee appreciation night tonight and bought, like, I want to say 240 tickets or something to TuaCon tonight. One of the reasons it sold out. I think it might have sold out anyway because, people were wanting to see
it's
it.
It's a great play. I loved that
But, yeah, she had, as it turns out, she thought she might get, they've done, like, baseball games and stuff like that and gotten half as many people as they thought they were going to get.
Mm.
They got twice as many people as they thought they were going to get this time. People want to go out to TuaCon and check out the play.
It's so beautiful. So. And that stage is amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you been out there for concerts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Kobe Calais.
Kobe Calais, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's Bubbles, right? But the song
yes.
about, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she the one with the big nose?
I don't know.
One of those singers has a really gigantic nose, like Barbra Streisand style.
I think
nose.
That's Lady Gaga.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I got to see, but you know what? It's weird. One of my favorite concerts, I've been to some big names out there, but one of my favorites was that Grits and Glamour with, it was Mel Tillis' daughter, Pam.
Hmm.
And then, what's the other girl's name? I can't think of it right now. Somebody out there knows and they'll text me, but, maybe it was because I was on the front row. Maybe it's because I was right there and I had actually interviewed Pam on this show.
Oh.
And so she was like, a couple of times during the show, she kind of, you know, waved at me and stuff. And I was like,
nice.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But, yeah, it was good.
No, it's good. Super fun to go to the theater. My husband doesn't like to go, but my kids like to go, so I can take them sometimes.
All right, we've got another break. We got to get in here. When we come back, I want to talk about the word flourish, flourish. What does it mean? And there's a new poll out about flourishing. Mm. There are a couple of meanings to it, so we'll give you the couple of meanings. But there's one in particular that we care about, and we will we'll talk about that when we come back on the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Mello, we were talking earlier about things you don't confess to on the radio, right? Yes. Things that you don't say. And you just now you said, no, that's not one you're going to want to share.
And run it by your wife and she'll agree with me 100%.
And there are some stories I just have to keep to myself because I don't want people to think less of me. One of them involves, law enforcement, and I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations would have run out on this one, but because it was in 1983, but you never know.
Right, so, yeah, keep yourself safe, Andy.
All right, the word is flourish, F-L-O-U-R-I-S-H, flourish. Now, a flourish, when it comes to an action verb, is a bold or extravagant gesture action. You know, they make this big old flourish with your arms, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of flourish we're talking about. The other definition of a flourish is, by the way, that was a noun, this is a verb, is concerning a person, animal, or living organism to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a favorable environment. Mm-hmm. To flourish, to thrive.
Thrive. I like that word better,
So there's an article that outlines the results of a survey about flourishing. They use that word specifically because that can mean different things to different people as far as, you know, how flourishing, how much you flourish, right? Mm-hmm. But they ask people whether or not they felt like they were flourishing. The article, by the way, is on Deseret.com latest. It's an opinion piece. So at the heart of the study is a question, what contributes to a life well-lived? What makes you flourish? The relevant attainment of a state in which all aspects of a person's life are good, right? Things are going well. Mm-hmm. The results of the study were interesting. In past years, people tended to say they were flourishing when they were under the age of 30. It was almost like a U curve. Like they flourished when they were that age, kind of went down to the bottom while they were in their 30s and 40s and even early 50s. And then they went back up right around the age of 60 to flourishing again. So they felt like they were flourishing at young and flourishing at old and not so much in the middle. Well, the new study is different now. Instead of flourishing at the beginning and the end and stuck in and bad in the middle, all the people that said they were flourishing when they were young are down with the middle-aged people. They say they are not flourishing.
The younger generation?
Younger generation, under the age of 30, says they are not flourishing right now. And the article in question, the name of the article, The Kids Aren't Flourishing, Global Well-Being Study Finds. It attempts to maybe answer why young people don't feel like they're flourishing. And
I have an opinion on that.
And
sure.
I honestly, my very first thought when I heard that was, it's the phones. It's the smartphones.
Am I off base? I think.
Okay.
My opinion is that when you compare yourself with others, there's the quote, I don't know who said it, but comparison is the thief of joy. Because when you compare yourself...
Ooh, we should put that on my wall. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah. So when you're comparing yourself, then you're like, oh, shoot, I'm not quite good enough. So that makes me even more... makes me less. So when you're comparing yourself, that's why I think that as you get older, like as I'm in my 40s. Thank you, Andy.
Barely.
I think that I can see that what other people are thinking of me is okay, but it doesn't impact what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going
to
do.
That is so hard, though, to disregard what other people think of you because it's in our nature to go, what are they, my house isn't as clean as it could be. What are they going to think of me? Or my car has a dent in it. Now everybody thinks I'm a bad driver. Or, my hair is messy today. Or my, you know, I got a hole in my pants. Although apparently nowadays, getting holes in your pants is a badge of honor. I don't know.
It is.
But I agree with what you're saying. But that's a hard thing to do.
I don't know. I really think one of the things that helped me, and it's so interesting because it's the thing that should have made me more self-conscious, is starting to post on Instagram and Facebook more often and being more vulnerable with my posts. Because as I did that, yes, there was some criticism. Yes, there's some other things.
Always can be the haters, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But the haters do make you famous. That's okay. But so as you're receiving that feedback, then you kind of have to look into yourself and you're like, does that really define me? Like, and somebody said something to me many years ago. I had a falling out with one of my friends when I was a young adult. And I needed this other woman's help and my other friend was judging me for taking the help. And she said to me, she said, Melody, if it doesn't matter in 5 years, it doesn't matter. And so as I think about, I put things in that window when I'm thinking about things. And so if I have a relationship with a sibling or I have something like that, that is going to matter to me in 5 years. But if it's somebody on Instagram that's posting rotten crap about me, okay, I can delete that comment. I can block that person. I can do those things that kind of protect my peace. And I cannot read those things that they're saying, and that's fine. But I can still put myself out there for those other people that I am influencing and that want the content that I'm creating.
The truth of the matter is, too, though, that the social media, accepting what you're saying, but social media is a medium of comparison. Mm-hmm. I know this couple. They're not a really happy couple. They really aren't. But they're on vacation right now, and they're sending pictures back of all this amazing stuff, right? And you look at the pictures. We all do this on social media, and we go, man, they must be so happy and be having such a great time. Mm-hmm. Well, if you know them, they're probably not. And the pictures you're getting are kind of, staged. Not even kind of, they're really deceptive.
Yeah, yeah. And when I'm posting, I post like the real me. Like if my hair is
that's
disheveled,
different. Yeah.
I know. But that's because I'm trying to be more confident in my skin and just putting myself out there. Like I've put some weight back on. Okay. But that's where I am right now. And other people are going through those ups and flows,
right,
and
right.
Like menopause, and like things happen to your body and you just have to just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Menopause is a killer, by the way.
I don't know if I am or not. Last decade
or so with my wife, we've gone through it. And, you know, she says sometimes at the end of the day, she doesn't recognize who she was that day. She's like, it's so frustrating. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. I did want to ask you what your thoughts were. So we talked about our theories on why the flourishing maybe isn't happening for young people, but the survey found that it is still happening for people 60 plus. They still feel like their life is flourishing. I think it's ironic because physically, after the age of 60, you're probably the worst you've been in your life at that point.
Right?
I mean, things are going wrong. Things are breaking. You're visiting doctors, you talk to old people and half the conversation centers on what doctor's appointments they had that week and stuff. So why do they consider things are flourishing then if they're in pain?
I think it goes back to the same thing because they've gotten to the point where they don't care what other people think. And I think that's what you're looking for. You want to get to that point where it matters what you think. And that's what matters.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. What was that saying we're going to put on my wall?
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Comparison is the thief of joy. People that haven't been to my studio, I have a whole bunch of sayings on my wall here that I love. And that one is going on the wall.
Awesome.
So we're out of time, Mello.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for helping out today. Thanks. Congratulations, Brenda. Enjoy the show tomorrow night. We'll be back on Monday. See you then.